Amen. Yeah. I want it all. That was last week. We still want it all, though, don't we? Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We're still dealing with the devil. Amen. Anybody feel like that this week? Anybody in here didn't have any problems this week? Well, I'll give you some of mine, okay? We all have problems. We all have difficulties. We know we have learned over the last several weeks that we are dealing with some things that go on. We are dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is your enemies. That's who's trying to take you down, and they do a very good job of it. And so we've learned that the world is not the people of the world, but the mechanisms or the systems of the world. Then we talk about the flesh. That's that flesh nature's in us. That's what makes us want to sin. Yeah, we don't have to teach our kids how to sin. We have to teach them how to not sin. They just kind of come in the world automatically, wanting to be selfish and wanting to live a life for themselves. And so that's all of us. And then, of course, we've been dealing with the devil. But what we've said over the past several weeks is this, and Mike preached last week and talked about it also, and that what we're dealing with is the devil knows how to use the world and the flesh to go against us. And so he takes those things, and we're going to look today about our weaknesses. He takes those things that he sees our weaknesses are, and he uses those things against us to get us to fall, to get us to fall away from him. Now, what his purpose is, and we learned this from week one, if you're lost, what he's trying to do is he's trying to make sure you don't get saved. And so he's dealing with you and the world and the flesh and devil. He's trying to keep you away from God and the things of God. If you're saved, then what he's trying to do is get you to lose your testimony. He's trying to get you to where, you can't tell anybody else about Christ. You're so caught up in your little world and all your problems is that you can't go out and serve God. And so he's got a plan for everybody, so we have to realize that, and you have to be mindful of that. So what we have done over the last several weeks, and we'll do a couple of more weeks probably, I've got some other things I want to include, is we're trying to learn how he operates. Because the better you know how someone, your enemy, operates, the better you can go against him, the better you can put up a stronghold against him and fight him back. And so it's not complicated. We've learned this through these last messages. It's basically three things. It's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three areas that he hits us in. It looks different ways, the different things, but that's basically the three areas he operates out of, okay? We saw it from Genesis chapter 3 and Adam and Eve, and then we looked at it, how he tried to deal with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. We've covered all that kind of stuff too. And so I was trying to show you that he doesn't have a complicated system, but he what he does works, okay, because he knows us and he can draw us away. And so and it's a lot of times it's very subtle. We're going to see that today. It's very subtle. Sometimes it's we kind of get our minds off focus of him. And when we sing these songs, it's like if you could come in here and we could just be here together all week and sing songs about God and everything, it's like, man, we can make it really easy. It's like me on a diet. I do real good till it gets dark, and for some reason I get hungry after the sun goes down. I don't know what it is. I kind of crave chocolate, so it's and everything, anything sweet, and it's kind of like that. But so we have to realize that the devil has a plan, and we're trying to defeat him in this world. But we're not alone, and we've learned that also. And we've kept going back through the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, and you'll hear it again today. And we keep going back to that because that's God's promise that he's there to help us. He's there to provide a way out for us. And he can do that, and he will do that. And we can be victorious in our Christian lives. And that so many people have given up to sin. Maybe you're here today, and you just keep giving up to the same old thing and going back to the same old thing. And you think, man, I know God's tired of hearing me, you know. But you need to realize that God loves you and he cares about you and he wants you to be victorious in those things. He wants you to defeat those things that are bringing you down in life. And many of you here today, you're depressed, you're disgusted with life because you keep giving in to sinful ways. And you need to realize you can win the battle. And you need to realize what we have to realize is this, and this is what gets us tired. And it was a time in my life I thought that I'd get saved and, you know, I'd start reading the Bible and I'd go to church and, you know, I started growing in my knowledge. I started learning more about the Bible and truth. And I thought, well, there'll be a time where it'll get easier and the more I know, the easier to get. Well, I'll put it like this. I won't say that it hasn't got easier, any easier, but I do, I can see the devil coming at me quicker now. I can see his plan. I can see how he tries to manipulate me, how he tries to draw me down. And we do that through truth, we do that through standing in the Word, and we do that through prayer by God revealing those things to us. And so those are two essential things that we have to do that. So you'll never get away from that. You're not ever going to get to a point in your Christian life where you have arrived and you can just lay it all down and say, well, man, I am victorious. I'm not ever going to have a problem with the devil, the flesh, and the world anymore. That's not true, okay? That's not going to happen in this world. That's what you call heaven. You know, that's what heaven's going to be about, okay? So we're going to have this battle, and we're in a battle, and we can get tired. And you're going to get tired if you do it by yourself and without the Lord. So today we're going to kind of shift gears, and we're going to start talking about our battle plan and finding ways out of sin and how to get away from temptation and learn something about ourselves. Today is something that if you came into my office and you sat down with me and you counseled with me, I wouldn't probably pull out a sheet and go through this like I am today with you, but I would be asking you these questions because I'm trying to get you to get it, okay? I'm trying to get you to see what you're giving into and why you keep giving into it. So some of that today you're going to see as we go through this. So Proverbs chapter 4, verses 22, 27, you're going to see this, and it's laid out here through this scripture here about the things that we need to guard ourselves. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words." And when he's talking about this is, now this is the key verse as we start here. In this whole text here we're talking about, the key word here is words. It says, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my words. And his word is truth. And so how we battle the enemy, how we battle the lies, is we do it with truth. There's no way around that. You have to get in the word. You have to memorize the word. You have to make the word a part of your life. In verse 21, he goes on, he says, "Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart." He's talking about the words here. He says, "For they are life, and those who find them are healthy to a man's whole body." He's talking about the truth here again. He's talking about that. And then in verse 23, he said, "Above all else," and I'd say that's pretty important. I mean, you've got a whole Bible here, and he's saying, okay, Solomon's saying, above all else, he's saying, "Guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth, and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm, and do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this portion of Scripture today, dear God. It gives us a warning. We have a battle in this world. Some people think that this world is like a cruise ship and everything's just going to be smooth sailing, but that's not true. And we're all going to have those storms. We're all going to have those battles in lives. And so, God, today we're here to prepare for the battle. Some people might be in one right now. Well, you need to get ready for the battle before you take on the battle. And so, God, help us to get ready. Help us to be able to defeat the things that we're dealing with in our lives, because the devil, the world, the flesh are keep going to throw these things at us continuously, God. And, God, let us learn to defeat the enemy that we are so up against in the world that we have here today. God, let us look to you, look at your truth as you tell us here today. And God, let us be wise and not otherwise about our lives, that we might dedicate ourselves to you. And the only way we can do that is, God, to be victorious in our lives. And then that way we can help others be victorious in their lives. And so, God, use this message to better help us understand about our enemy and how to fight him off. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And amen. So he named some things here as you go through this list. It's kind of like a grocery list here. He names some things here. First of all, he talks about our ears. And what he's doing here, he's saying, pay attention. You need to pay attention about what's going on around in your life, because the devil is very subtle. If he can't get you with bad things, he'll get you with good things, okay? And you need to understand it. So that's what he's telling you. He starts out. Then he talks about guarding your heart. And guarding your heart is, what he's talking about is that's making the right decisions. Or when we start hearing things, when we start looking at things, when we start, you know, letting people pour into our lives, and that gets past our ears and into our minds, it gets into our hearts. And so he tells us to guard it above all else. And then he talks about our mouth. So what's down in the bucket's what comes out of the well, you know. And so it comes up, and all of a sudden, if we have the bitterness and all those things and our actions and our attitude, it begins to come out of us. Well, he tells us to guard our words because that's what comes out of us. And then he goes on, he tells us about our eyes. Watch what we look at, because that's what feeds our mind. Our eyes and our ears feed our mind, and it sets a direction for our lives. And when we let polluted things come in it, then it's polluted things are going to come out of our lives. And that's what affects our mind. It's what affects our hearts. And so we have to guard those things. And that's why you hear me talk about so much about watch what you watch and watch what you listen to as far as music and what you read and all those things like that, because it's very important. And then he talks about our feet. And so that's talking about our direction in life and where are we going in life. And so what happens is what we listen to and what we see, it can corrupt our mind. And what that does, it puts us on a track going down the wrong direction. And all of a sudden, you know, you don't know how you ended up there, but you ended up there, and you kind of look back. And if you look back and see it, then you'll see it just one step at a time, one compromise at a time. And here you are, and things can go south pretty quick in people's lives. And they do. And so what this is, and Solomon here, what he's doing, he's laying out a warning for us. And he's telling us that we're in a battle, and we have to guard our minds and guard our hearts against these things. And so today, in the opening here, we're asking ourselves, where's our weak spot at? There needs to be a time in your life where you do a self-evaluation and you see where your weak spots are out in your life. I told you I've got a list back there in my office, and I've talked about it many times because sometimes I add to it, okay, because I deal with other things. But it's my weak spots, and it's things that I know I have compromised in other times of my life or maybe even now in my life, and so I write that down because it's something I want to be aware of but also in prayer about. And so we have to identify our weak spots, and so God wants us to deliver us. We can't ever forget that. He wants to deliver us. We're starting out this morning. He's giving us a warning here, and he's saying, I want you to have a victorious life, and you need to realize you can. I have areas in my life that I have defeated. Doesn't mean that I'm not foolish to say that I won't never battle those things again, but they're a lot easier to battle them now than they were because they don't have the same attraction to me anymore. And we're going to look about that later on. And so the devil does what? He uses the world and the flesh to discourage us, distract us, and try to destroy us. And he's doing a good job in the world we're living in. Some of you know that I'm a police chaplain now, and I ride with police, about once a month. And so this last Friday night, I rode with one of the cops, and we pulled a young couple over. And I'd seen this guy plenty of times in jail. He's a repeat offender, and he seems sincere. He's on meth. He's just all messed up. And so the first thing we did, we found, they pulled out some needles. Of course, they hadn't done anything. I hadn't found anybody that ever done anything, okay? And finally, we found needles and things, and then he's over there hanging on me because he knows me, and then she's over there crying and hooping and hollering. But let me tell you what, it's a demonic situation. Drugs and alcohol are demonic, and it's taking our world down. Materialism is a demonic thing. It's so many people caught up in greed and just trying to have more stuff and thinking that somehow or another it's going to satisfy them. And that's part of the things. And that's the camouflage of the devil. So you don't see when we talk about demons and the devil and all those kind of things. So you don't contribute a lot of times to alcohol and drugs and material and wealth and greed and lust and all those things that are taking down our country and taking down our people. But those things are, and people are caught up into those things. And we have to realize that and have to be aware, and we have to make ourselves aware of it in our own lives, because one, it starts as something very subtle, then it can end up into something very big if we don't look out for it. In Mark 7 and verses 20 through 23, it says, and he was talking, it says he went on, and listen to what he says here. It says, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. It says, for what from within, out of man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So we have these things inside of us. We haven't talked a lot about the flesh nature, but let me tell you what, it's as much of enemy as the devil is, and he uses that. So we have these things, we have these sinful ways inside of us. That's the curse, okay, that we have. We're living in a cursed world. Have you not recognized that, okay? And that's happened after Adam and Eve sinned, and we have this flesh nature. And the devil knows that, so he uses these things to attract us, to draw us away. And so those things are in you, and what you have to do is suppress those things. All of us have our battles, and so we have to realize that. And so the devil will use those things, and so you're battling with some things, I'm battling with something. That's what I'm saying on the front end is you need to have a list of your weaknesses and what you deal with. And so the devil uses these things against us. And so we have these things in us, but we can keep them suppressed with the Holy Spirit's help and truth and staying in contact with God's word and godly people. And I kind of use it as an illustration. It's like having a muscle car. It's got a real hot motor, and I remember I stock car raced for a period of time, and I had a 350 short. Some of you guys that know about cars, I had a 350 short block out of a GMC truck, and I had a 3-speed Power Glide out of a Pontiac car, and I had a 411 rear end in it. Okay, so if you know anything about that, if you know anything about cars, all it was for is for real quick. It wasn't for a long term. It was for quick. And that car was fast, okay? But when I drove it down the road and I was doing 30 mile an hour, you looked at it and it looked like a piece of junk because it was a stock car, and I had roll cages and all that kind of stuff, and so it didn't look like. But man, let me tell you what, let me put my foot on the accelerator and punch it, and it took off, okay? And so it's kind of how it is for us, okay? All of us have something inside of us. We have these things inside of us that are capable of coming out, and the devil knows how to push the accelerator on your life. And he looks at the things that you're kind of giving into. Maybe you're watching some things on TV. Now that we have Netflix and all these other flicks, we have all these other things, it's easier to get more introduced to those things. And the internet and all those things, it's just so available to us. And this All the things that we're having to deal with in life that we didn't have to deal with 15, 20 years ago as much. And so all those things, and he can put his foot on the accelerator and push it, and all those things begin to come out. And you say, well, where did they come from? Well, they come from within you is what he's saying here, from that flesh nature. So you say, well, I'm not capable of doing that. Oh, yes, you are. You're given the right situation, the right circumstances. You're capable of doing about anything, okay? And I am too, and we have to realize that and look at it in our lives, and we're going to see that in a little bit too, okay? And so how do we have victory? Let's get to that. Let's get past this. We know what the problem is. Amen. We're the problem. Okay. That's what it is. Okay. We're the problem. But how do we have victory in temptation? Well, the first thing is, let's get into this. Identify what tempts me. And so that sounds pretty, I guess you'd say, I guess you'd say everybody ought to know that, but a lot of people don't really know that. They don't really know what tempts them. They don't really know what makes them keep falling. All they do is they see after the fall, they don't see before the fall. Remember, temptation is not a sin. We know that one reason, because Jesus was tempted and never sinned, okay? But what keeps tempting you? What keeps drawing you down? And that's where we're going to go at today, okay? In Matthew 6 and verse 41, it says this. It says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And so we have a weakness about us. And what it's saying here, where it's talking about watch, that's what I said a while ago. Be aware. Be aware of the things that are going on around you. Look and see what's going on around you. And so we have to apply the truth. And so it can be simple or it can be hard, but it's something we have to apply when we watch and watch what's going on around us and how the devil's trying to hit us with things. And that's what staying in Scripture, that's what staying in the Word, that's what staying around godly people can do for you. It makes you aware something. It makes you aware of what's coming out and how subtle he can be, but it makes you more aware of how he's trying to work in your life. So God has wired each of us different. And so what grabs me might not grab you. I might not be dealing with the same thing. You ever went up and poured your guts out to somebody and somebody say, oh really? It's like, man, this is a big deal with this, something you've been really struggling with, everything. It's like, oh really? Okay, it's not that big a deal to them. Okay. But so what grabs you might not grab me. And so that's why some people give in to some things and some people don't give in to others. And so we ever said something like this, I would never do that. You ever said that? You ever seen something somebody done, you said, I never do that? Well, you might not. Because why? Because that might not be how you're wired. But it might be given the same situation, the same circumstances, you might give into those things. And we have to understand it. And that's why we can't judge other people for their sinfulness. We don't need to judge other people because of the things that they're falling into, because really what it is that maybe I'm not wired that way, but they are wired that way. And they're struggling with that like I'm struggling with something else. And so maybe at times I don't suppress the things that are in me, and I sin just like you do. And other times other people sin, and they sin in their way, and I sin in my way. So we can't be so judgmental. Because why? Because we don't deal with those things. Those are some things that I don't deal with that other people deal with in life. And when I talk to them, I can't see how they see it that way, because I'm not dealing in that same kind of a situation that they are. So what brings that on to us? Well, here's some things that brings it up. Our weaknesses come from, first of all, sometimes our genetics, I mean, you have different traits. I mean, I was telling someone the other day that I see some of the things that my dad did that annoyed me in my life now. One of the things he did is took his tongue and like that, he'd click his tongue. Well, I never done that before in my life until about 3 years ago. And I was sitting in a deer blind, and all of a sudden I was going, I thought, man, what am I doing that for? It's like, man, well, all of a sudden, I started doing that. It's like, it's just a habit, okay? And my daddy, he would just... And it's like, man, quit that, And I mean, it's just, and then I notice my brother does it, okay? So, I mean, it's certain. So, isn't it scary? It was really scary for Mona, for me. Because when she says that you're just like your daddy, that's not saying something good usually, okay? I love my dad, but he had some difficulties, okay? And so, and Mona's afraid of that. But it's our genetics and our family life. A lot of times our family life, if you deal with some people, especially with me coming in, in the jail and drugs and alcohol situation, there's some people that don't know what normal really is. Have you ever run anybody like that? They didn't raise a normal household. Mona, she was in a Leave It to Beaver house. That's where their house. They had 8 kids, and they didn't have any money to do anything wrong. So that's why they had raised up so good. But my house, it was a fuss and a fight and a knock and a beat and the beer joints and the running around and divorces and all that kind of stuff. And so we come out of two different ways of life. And so, my life of normal was not her life of normal, okay? And we kind of had to kind of blend those two together with our scuffles and scrapes sometimes. Also, our character has to play. Also, here's one thing, our environment. Our environment, what we're around, has a lot to do with that. And also our friends. And so that's why we as parents, we have to do what? We have to control our children's environment. It's very important for that. Because the type of people they get around with is usually the type of people they become. You ever realize that? This is part of my story. I say, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in Millsfield in a little community, and I was surrounded by all my kin folks. We had Moody Osmond Road. That's where I lived at. And my granddaddy was a farmer. And, you know, back in the day, you know, when you farmed, you give your kids an acre. And usually they built a house, and everybody kind of lived beside it because you helped on the farm. That's what you did. Well, that, I was caught up into that until my parents got divorced. And my mother didn't want to live on Moody Osmond Road with all the Osmonds, because she got the house, okay? So she moves us to New Bern, which all it did with me is made me bitter, made me angry, because I liked it back in Millsfield. I had to change schools. I had to do all that kind of stuff. And so it was all a big adjustment right in my fourth grade year, and it was a kind of a critical time in my life. So I got to be bitter. And then I got to get it. What I did is I moved into a neighborhood that kind of has some rough characters. And so what happened is I start running around those folks, you know. Mama, she's trying to get me, you know, she wants me to have friends. And so I start running around with the wrong friends. And this is what I tell people. If at first I started running around with the wrong people, and then before long I became the wrong people. Amen? And all of a sudden I was one of those kind of people in school that was like, well, you don't run around with him. You don't go home with him because he don't do right. And I didn't understand that, but I was the problem. And so that's what happens in our lives, and kind of and our environment does that, and who we run around with. And so we as parents, we try to guard our kids against that. We try to put them around good people and good friends and make sure that they don't get in around the wrong environment, because it has a big part of shaping our lives and setting our weak spots. So our friends and music and TV and books, all those things bring out this, I guess you so, this opportunity to fall into temptation and fall away from the things of God. So we don't get to choose our temptations, but we can control them. You need to realize that. We don't need. This is something I read a long time. We don't get to choose our temptations, but we can control our temptations. You need to realize that. We're dealing today with an alcohol and drug problem. We're dealing today with homosexuality and things like that. And so some people battle that way, and some people don't battle that way. And so, but listen, it's a battle for everybody, but you can have victory in all that. Amen? You know, you can have victory in all those things. And that's why the devil is a liar, and he don't want you to know that. He wants you to just adjust your life to those things and say, well, this is just how I am, and this is just who I am, and so I'm just going to give in to those things. Well, listen, you can have victory in those things. And when you get your life straightened out for those, usually you'll be an advocate against those things. I hate alcohol and drugs. Why? It's because not only what I've seen it do to me, but what I've seen what it does to other people. I mean, I see some really good people in the Dyer County Jail, some good guys, really good guys. But what their problem is, they can't get that monkey off their back. And a lot of them have convinced themselves that they can't get that monkey off their back. But you can have victory in Jesus Christ. And if you're going through something like that today, listen, you need to talk to someone. First of all, you need to talk to God, but you need to talk to me, or you need to talk to somebody godly around you that can tell you and show you how you can have victory in your life. And so what do? When we're tempted, we avoid the people, we avoid places and things that are triggered, our weaknesses that make it easy for us to be targets towards the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now here, I'm going to give you an illustration of this. Most of you know that I read a proverb every day, and I've been doing that for a long time. It's for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and I need a lot of that, okay? I started out late, okay? But here's a proverb that I read. It's on Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 23. And it gives us an illustration, a perfect illustration of how sin works and how it can draw us away from things. It says, at the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple. So here's this old boy. He's simple. So he's just, he not too smart, okay? It says, I noticed among the young men a youth lacking in judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in her direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute. Now notice, it didn't say she was a prostitute. It says she was dressed like one. So ladies, you dress like a prostitute, somebody might think you are one, okay? And so we'll stop there. It says, with crafty intent. She had craft. So when you dress like that, you've got a crafty intent. You're trying to draw flies, okay? And so it goes on, it says, she is loud and defiant, and her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the square, at every corner she lurks. She like that. She lurks. That means, man, she's after him, okay? She's after somebody. It says, she looks hold to him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfill my vows. And this is kind of like a worship to them, okay? So, you know, this deal. It says, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you and found you. Like, man, you're the one, okay? You ever been told that? You're the only one, okay? Yeah. And it says, I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon, which today would be potpourri or something like that, okay? It says, come, let us drink deep of, now here's the lie, let us drink deep of love. you know. Well, that's not love. It's lust, isn't it? It says till morning, let's enjoy ourselves with love. Well, that's not love. It's really lust. And then here she goes. She's trying to give him a little assurance because now you understand. Now he knows that she's married. In verse 19, he says, my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till a full moon. With persuasive words, and she led him astray, and she seduced him with her smooth talk. Adrian Rogers calls her old honey lips. That's what I remember him saying that. It says, all at once he followed her like an ox going to a slaughter. Here's the old boy jumping in, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. And so you see the seduction, you see how it works, you see, well see, it's not only this in a sexual way, but it can be in any kind of way. So we were just kind of being seduced into something and fall into it. And what happens, you contemplate it in your mind. Again, he says, above all else, guard your mind. You're contemplating in your mind, you're saying, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. And all of a sudden, when you decide to go ahead and fall in, all of a sudden you're going to jump into it real quick, you know. It's like Barry says about eating bad food. If you eat it quick, it won't make you gain weight. But none of us believe that, but that's what he says, you know. So I don't know where he got that from. Well, I guess his grandmama told him that. I don't know. He blames everything. Oh, no, Linda told him. He blames everything on Linda. That's what it is, yeah. But it's kind of like that. It's still going to have an effect on you, okay? And you don't realize it. But have you ever, you know, you're caught up into something. You're saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not. You might battle it for a day, or you might battle it for a week or a month, you know. And all of a sudden, you decide, man, I'm just going to give in. And all of a sudden, you just like you got to run to it, you know, just run to it real fast because you want it, because you know that it's wrong. And then the problem is the hardest part of it is after you do it. You know, see, the devil tempts you into something. Then he sticks a knife in your back and says, if you really love the Lord, you wouldn't have did that. You wouldn't have said that. You wouldn't have acted like that. And there comes the guilt and the shame and all the things that go with it that the Satan brings out in those things. And so what it does is if we have to get away from those things, and he's laying it out here for us how we can easily be tempted. And Satan knows those triggers that draw it out of us. The second thing is this, identify my triggers. You hear me use that word? That is a counseling term. If some of you have been into counseling, triggers are your weak spots. I'm calling them weak spots also. It's things that set you up for temptation. And so what I'm going to do here, I'm going to run through these pretty quick here. I'm going to try to help you identify. I want you to identify some of your triggers, but here's where they come in. Here's the categories that they kind of come into. And so when am I at my most weakest? What sets me off? What sets me up to fall into temptation or to fall into sin? Well, the first one is this, is when am I most tempted? It'll be a time of day. Usually what you're going to see similarities. It's usually you're going to see it a certain time of day or a certain period, a situation like that's going on. The second thing is this, is where am I most tempted? There's usually a place, okay? There's a certain kind of day, there's a certain place. I'm at home, I'm at the office, I'm at school or something like that. The third thing is who am I around when I'm most tempted? Think about the people you're around, or maybe you're alone. That's when you keep falling into temptation. Maybe it's your buddies or your family or maybe your job or something like that. That's who you're around when you feel this keep coming up or keep coming on. The next thing is what satisfaction do I get out of this sin? See, there's always a payoff. There's always something you get out of it. That's why you keep going back to that. And so there's a payoff, but there's a pleasure of it. There's a comfort. There's an excitement. And that's why we keep giving into it. See, and so, you know, don't ever say that sin's not fun. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. Okay? The problem with sin is sometimes it's fun. But the problem with sin is it has a cost to it. Okay? It has consequences to it. Okay? And usually they come down the road a little further. And that's what is dangerous too. The next thing is how do I feel right before I'm tempted? That's very important. One of the things that I ask people that I counsel, how do you feel right before you're tempted? How do you feel right before you do that? And here's some people that, and here's some things. Some people are bored. It's when they're bored. You know, they don't have anything else to do. That's when you eat a lot, isn't it? Anybody in here, man? I mean, man, if I get home and I sit there and watch TV for a couple of hours, it's like, well, I'm gonna go down there and get me a little snack. And then man, I'll walk there about maybe an hour and I'm going to get me another little snack, you know. And so it's bored. Lonely. Sometimes it's when people are lonely. Sometimes nervous or tired or hungry or sleepy. And what I'm saying is that's what's to watch out for. That's some things to avoid, okay? One of the things that I do is I keep very little, well, I can't say I keep some food in my room, okay? That's where I keep my sweets, my little treats that Mona buys me. I tell her to get me this and get me that because I have a sweet tooth. But for the main stuff, okay, I'm going down, I got to go downstairs to get it, okay? Now, what really screwed us up was that Stephen, he bought a refrigerator and put it upstairs, okay? So, I mean, I ain't got anything in it, okay? But I thought, man, we don't need that up here, you know? So that's just taking away everything. So But try to avoid those things that draw you in. And listen, if you ever identify these, what we call these triggers, you'll begin to see again. What you'll see is there's a pattern there. You'll see a pattern. And see, that's the first part of having victory, is learn your pattern. Because what it'll be is, again, you'll be at a certain place, or you'll be around a certain person, or there'll be a certain situation. You'll feel a certain way, and then you'll find what you need to realize after you sin, other than feeling bad and guilty and ashamed and all those things and disgusted with yourself, what'll happen is you need to analyze, okay, why am I doing this? What pleasure is this bringing me? And you begin to identify those things, and it helps you battle against those things. And so that's just counseling 101 there is what that is, okay? But it's very important that you do that. If you're ever going to have victory in sin, you've got to spend the time to lay out why you keep doing what you're doing. Okay, just don't throw up your hands and say, "Well, that's just how I am. That's who I am." That's not a good excuse. Okay, it's not no excuse. Okay, the third thing is identify my plan of escape. So after you learn all these things, and again, we're talking about the way out now. We've kind of shifted gears in our temptations. We're talking about all these things, and we talked about. But you need to have a plan before you get there. Again, you heard me this morning when I prayed. There's some people that are going through some situations. Now, when you're going through the battle, is not the time to try to make a plan to get out of the battle. You need to have something ahead of time ready to know that when I feel this way, when I get in this situation, when I get around this person, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do, okay? So you need to have a plan. And that's where 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 comes in. And it tells us, it helps us. It says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." So there's a promise of God. He's saying, not on your own. Now, you need to realize this. I mean, it says, read this again with me. Look at what it says here. It says, "And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Now, when you try to wing it, when you try to do it on your own, and a lot of times you're going to give in, okay? But he's saying, with his help, we don't have to give in. So that's why I think I brought this out Wednesday night or a couple of weeks ago when I preached. I brought this out. When we sin, I think it's Wednesday night, when we sin, we choose to sin. You've made a choice. You've made a conscious choice to sin. And that's what should hurt you the most. If you love God and you know this hurts God, that's what Satan is trying to get you to do. See, if you're a Christian, he's trying to get you to hurt God. That's your father. That's someone that loves you. He knows this is going to do damage to you. So when you hurt God, it should hurt you. Okay? And so that's how you know. You say, "Well, Brother Nathan, I sin. I don't know. Let me tell you, if you sin and you enjoy it and it doesn't bother you, you got a problem. Okay? You need to check your salvation, because when I sin, it bothers me. It bothers my heart because I know I hurt God and I'm going against God. And one reason it is because I know I chose to. I know better. Okay? I'm the preacher. I'm telling you how to do this. Okay? But I still give in. Okay? So it's even double. The devil tells me every now and then, "Man, you're even the preacher. Okay? You're up here telling." I had a guy tell me one time. He says, "I never preach anything that I don't arrive at." Man, listen. You'd get short sermons and there wouldn't be much said. Okay? I mean, because I'm a long way from arriving a lot of stuff. Okay? And I battle just like you do. And so he's talking about having a way out with God's help, and we have to understand it. And then he goes on. He tells us, "But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Now, what our responsibility here is to look for the way. Now, how does he reveal the way? He does it through his word. He does it through other people. He does it through prayer. He reveals the escape route. He shows us how we can avoid those things. Don't go there. Don't get around that person. Don't be involved in that situation, okay? Remember I told you a couple of weeks ago about my buddy that was alcoholic and started going to the beer joints to eat peanuts, okay? It didn't work out for him, okay? And so you have to understand that. So there's a way out with God helping us and God showing us. So how do we avoid temptation? Well, here's a word I'm going to throw at you that we learned here several years. Several of us went through a video series with Andy Stanley called Guardrails. Set up guardrails. You've got to set up guardrails. There's certain things that you need to avoid when you understand your triggers. There's certain things you need to start setting up guardrails. I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to allow myself to be put in that situation. I'm not going to get around that person, okay? Or I'm not going to get around that group of people because I know that that's my weak spot. That's my trigger, okay? So pay attention. So when he goes through this, Philippians 4, 20 through 27, he says what? Pay attention, guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your eyes, guard your steps, and guard your mouth is what he's saying. So he puts up all these things here saying, these are some things that you need to guard. He's saying what? Put up guardrails here to stay away from these things and watch what you're doing. Because why? Because that's how you keep falling into those things. In verse 26, what he says here, he says, "Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm." What's he saying here? What he's saying here is this. He's telling us stay away from bad places and bad people. That's what he's saying. He's saying stay away from those people. You know who it is. I mean, you know what goes on, you know. I tell you one thing that I catch myself doing. I like classic rock and roll. Don't listen to it a whole lot anymore because one thing I know when I'm driving down the road and I'm listening to classic rock and roll, you know, there's one thing that I normally do. I drive faster, okay? I drive fast. I mean, you just kind of get the beat, you know, you get a little this on your mind. Next thing you know, you look down, man, I'm doing 80 mile an hour. Boy, slow down, you know. I mean, I just kind of noticed that. It was just something that I noticed when I, because it's kind of just, that's how it is. And so you'll notice things like that. So what I do, I won't say I never do it, but I don't usually listen to a whole lot of classic rock and roll when I'm driving, okay? And so it's one of those things. So stay away from it. In Romans 13 and verse 14, it says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sensual nature. Now, how do you do that? Well, what do you do that is don't dwell on it. We call that meditation. And so the Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God. But see, meditation, all it is thinking about something repeatedly. You're just thinking about it. So don't dwell on it. Don't when the devil tempts you about something, okay? When the devil, let's keep it clean, so we'll say ice cream, okay? The devil tempts you about ice cream, okay? And you know you don't need to eat any ice cream, okay? Then just quit. Don't ride by Baskin Robbins back and forth, okay? Don't do that. Just kind of drive on by and look at it, and then quit thinking about it, okay? And just go on. And it's about any. Don't dwell. And that's what happens. Remember, all sin starts in your mind. And so what happens is the first step is going to be, it's going to be your dwelling on it. And that's called meditation. It's a negative meditation. What positive meditation is what? When we think about the Word of God. And so maybe start quoting scriptures. One thing I did, I told you this, I think here, the first or second thing, is I carried around scripture in my shirt pocket. And I was memorizing it, but also when I would give in to a temptation or be tempted about something, I'd pull out and I'd read my scripture off to guard against those things. And so that's what I did to help myself and so to keep myself out of those things. And so meditate on truth and to overcome the lie, okay? And then remember the devil uses the God-given desires in a fleshly and worldly way to draw us away from the things of God. Oh, don't ever forget that. Because see, this is what happens when you do it. Say, well, man, you know, it's not that bad. It's not anything wrong to eat chocolate at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, I'm hungry, and that's just a God-given thing, you know. Or it's not anything wrong with doing this. It makes me feel good, And we'll begin to justify that anyway, in all kinds of ways because we understand it's something that God created in us. But again, what have we learned is that the devil camouflages and perverts it. And what he does, he gets us to take a God-given need in our lives and perverts it and makes us do it in an ungodly way. And that's what sin is. See, it's doing it our own way. And we saw that through our illustrations the last couple of weeks, okay? So realize that. Now, so what we do is if we have to get ready for battle, and we're going to get into this. I'm not going to go through this whole scripture, but some of you know this is something that I do every day. I tell you, before I get out of bed, I know I'm going to battle. So that's what the problem for a lot of you are. You don't even know you're in a fight, see? But you do. So every day before I get out of bed, I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. I touch myself. I say, I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of readiness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Because I know I'm fixed to go to battle, and I do that every day before I get out of bed. Very rarely do I ever not do that. I don't hardly ever forget that, okay? Because I know that I'm going to meet the devil head on. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'm going to meet the devil head on. And you will too, see? If you're not meeting the devil head on, that means you're going in the same direction. And that's a problem too, okay? But what we have to understand is you're going to do battle, so you have to be strong. And what does it say here in Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 18? We're going to do the first couple of verses. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, and that's what we were talking about. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. See, he's scheming against you, see, even right now. In verse 12, he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It means it might be a person, but really the battle is a spiritual battle. And that's where many of us miss it. It's a spiritual thing. It's a demonic thing. Alcohol and drugs and pornography and materialism, all those things, it can be used by the devil to draw us away and draw us down. And we don't see it as a spiritual battle, but it is. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we have an enemy, and we have to realize that, and that's what we've been going through. And so we have to be strong in the Lord, and we can't do it without him. You can't do it without him. You need to realize that. And so many of you, why you keep giving in is because you're forgetting your most important thing, and that's to put him in the middle of it and put him out in front of you, guarding you and protecting you and the things that you keep falling into and giving into. So today we've started on our battle plan. We've talked about how we can have victory, and we've talked about our triggers and how we have to identify them. And then we've also talked about how we have to identify a plan. And You'd be very wise to identify your plan of escape before the battle starts. Because why? It's very difficult when the battle starts. Because you're dealing with a battle. And so you need to get a plan now, okay? So look at the closing here. Am I winning my battle? Ask yourself, am I winning my battle? What's your triggers? What's your weak spot? What's the sin you keep giving into? What's your triggers? I mean, what keeps setting that off in your life? Those are two things you need to identify today. This is a life-changing message right here. How do I know that? Because it changed my life. It helps me in different areas of my life. These are some very simplistic steps as you go through here, but it can be life-changing for you battling that temptation, keep falling into that sin. And what the devil's trying to do, he's trying to destroy, and we talked about it last Wednesday. He's trying to destroy your life. He's trying to destroy your marriage. He's trying to destroy your church. He's trying to destroy everything that God says good. The devil wants to take away from you. Because why? He hates you. See, he doesn't love you. He hates you. And he's trying to get you to compromise in your life. And so, am I winning my battles? You need to understand that. Lesson to learn today, God fights for us and with us. God fights for us, okay? Put him out in front. Let him answer the door, and he fights with us. He's in the battle with us. He's there for us. He has not left us and forsaken us in the battle. And that's one of the things the devil's lies also. God doesn't care about you. If he cared about you, he wouldn't let you go through this, okay? Well, that's not true. This is a cursed world, and bad things are going to happen to good people, and you need to be ready for it. That's what we're trying to do here. He's prepared us in his word if we'll just read it and apply it to our lives. And the application is I have to identify my battles. So that's what we're doing this morning. We're getting ready for a battle plan these next couple of weeks, and we're going to lay out some different things. It's just too big for me to go and do it in one sermon. But what you need to understand is today is I want you to identify those things in your life that you're battling. And some of you, it's going to be a grocery list, okay? For some of you, it might be two or three areas, okay? And you just keep giving in and falling in and feeling bad. And you can't, you'll never be who God wants you to be is because why? You're paying so much attention to fighting your battles because you're trying to do it on your own strength. And so you've got to have God's help. You've got to let him help you and get in. And you can win in the battles of life if you'll just allow him to be a part of that. So today, if we think about that, that's the things I want you to ask yourself. You know, what am I struggling with? What is your plan? Well, one of the things that I hope is your plan is get in the Word of God. How do you do that? Well, this is what you do. What I did is I found scripture that would identify those situations. I mean, if I'm dealing with a certain area in my life, I'll find scripture that identifies that, and I'll write it down, and I'll put it in my shirt pocket, and I'll begin to memorize those scriptures. That's a sower. The script, you know, the Word is your sower. That's truth, okay? And when the devil starts lying to me, I go back and remind him what the truth is, okay? And that's what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4 that we talked about. This is what truth is. This is what truth. Remember, always remember, the devil is a liar. And he's trying to convince you of something bad can turn into something good, and that's just a lie, okay? It's just a lie. And so you have to replace it with truth. And then what you have to do is you have to get somebody around you. One of the things we learned in our men's group over here the last couple of weeks is get an accountability partner. You know, find somebody you can talk to. You know, who's not going to talk to anybody else about you. You know, I have somebody in my life I do that with. You know, I have somebody that I know that I can tell anything. I can tell them anything. One thing, they're not going to be surprised because, you know, after you've been in ministry for so long, this is another pastor friend of mine. After you've been in ministry so long, everybody comes in and say this. Well, I know you're not going to believe this, but it's like, yeah, I heard that 10 times, you know. Because what we've learned in 1 Corinthians 10:13, we all struggle basically with the same thing, okay? And I've narrowed it down to three: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And it all fits in those one of those categories, okay? It all does. And so what you're struggling with, somebody else is probably struggling with also, to some degree. And so find somebody you can talk to. Get around. Man, I welcome you. Call and talk to me, and I want you to know I'm being confidential about it. You hear me use these examples up here, but you don't never use me here, use a name. And so I'm always very careful if I counsel somebody, I don't talk about something that I'm counseled with somebody in our church, because first thing they'll think, well, man, they've just told everybody. Well, no, I haven't either. Mona, tell you, I don't ever tell her much of anything either. I mean, it's just, if it's really, it's none of her business, okay? That's what sounds ugly, but it really isn't, because people don't need to know it. Because everybody usually has that one person they're going to tell something to, okay? That's how most people go to jail, is they tell that one person, and they tell somebody else, and here you go. It's known all over town. So, but that you need to find that person you know that you can go to in confidentiality and sit down and talk to them and tell them anything you need to tell them. And they're not going to judge you for it. They're going to try to help you. They love you too much to leave you there, but they're going to be there for you through the thick and the thin of those things. And so those are just a couple of things that we need to do. And we're going to be talking about those things the next couple of weeks, how to have victory in Jesus. Amen? And we can. We can. The devil's lie is, I can't do that. Yes, you can with the Lord's help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God. God, we need victory in areas of our lives. I need victory, Lord. God, there's areas of my life that I give into, just like everybody else in this room, God. I have a target on my back also. And the devil's trying to, he's trying to destroy me, and he's trying to discourage me and distract me from what you've called me to do. And so I know how real he is and how easy it is to fall into things because, God, I stumble and I fall at times also. But, God, you are always there to pick us up. But, God, what we're trying to do today is, what we're going to try to do the rest of this week, this rest of these sermon series is, if we're going to try to catch it before we ever fall. We're going to try to catch the temptation and that we don't have to give in to sin before we learn from that sin, God. And so, God, let us know truth that we don't have to fall into that sin every time. We can have victory before we get to that point. God, I have had victory in my life in areas, and other people in this room, I'm sure, has had victories in their life. And, God, we can do it with your help, and we have to come to you, Lord. So, God, give us that wisdom today to come to you and surrender ourselves to you today. So, God, maybe for some in here today, their victory is salvation. They've never accepted you as their Lord and Savior. And the day is the day they need to be saved and get the Holy Spirit inside of them, helping them to have victory in their life in whatever area they might be fighting and fighting off. For others in here today, maybe they're saved, God. But, God, today they have something that keeps coming back, like a current that keeps coming down, keeps pulling them down, keeps bringing them down. And, God, they can't get past that. Well, God, let them know they can have victory today through your love, your mercy, and your grace. And God, you love them. You care for them. Because, God, I know in my life when I keep giving in to something, the first thing I begin to doubt is your love for me because I'm disappointing you. But, God, you don't love us like that. You have an agape love, and you love us in spite of us sometimes because you have to because we're sinful creatures. And so, God, let us know that truth, and it helps us set on the road that we can have victory. So some here today that are saved, but they need victory in an area of their life, God. Whatever it is, I don't know, but, God, you do and they do. So, God, give them victory today. Help them, Lord. So Mike and I are up here to pray with you and for them, God. And God, let them know that we're here to help them. We're part of, and in some of their lives, we're part of the plan to get them past this, God. So, God, use this church and use us as individuals to make a difference in other people's lives, God. But we love and we praise you. We pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. So if you have a need in your life or you want Mike or I to pray with you or for you, or maybe you just want to come up to the altar today and say, God, I'm struggling with something. Or maybe somebody else, it might not even be you, but you've got somebody in your life that you care about is struggling with something. You need to pray about that situation and how you can help them. And there's just, because a lot of times, listen, a lot of times you need to realize you're the answer to somebody else's prayer. Just showing up, just being there, just a hug or a handshake and saying, man, I care about you. And I see that you keep giving in and it's just destroying your life and I'm here to help you. Maybe that's what your situation is today and showing and need to help somebody else in their difficulty. But whatever your need is today, you come. Let's all stand. Thank you.